Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defontenaroy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 188 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de las Podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Mike?
Very good, thanks.
I feel like we're improving our relative distance to our microphones lately.
Well, you did send me up with that microphone stand.
Yeah, I sent you with a parting gift from when you visited the D. Fauntleroy Studios.
I thought for sure my mother-in-law snuck that thing in because I got stopped at security.
Oh, that's right.
Excuse me, is this your bag? It's my Walt Disney World black bag, the one that you got if you spent like $40 or whatever.
Right, I know.
It's been a nice travel bag.
Yeah, just like a little duffel bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it did look like a, let's just say, something that should not be brought on a commercial aircraft.
It's just a big chunk of metal.
Right.
I mean, I probably would have checked it, but hey, you roll by the seat of your pants.
I had to be careful, Billy. Those things get thrown around. This was a $250 microphone stand. I'm not messing around.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. Yeah, that's true, because if you were to give it to me, it certainly wouldn't be $250.
No, you know me too well for that. What's new, buddy?
Let's see. We've got a tropical depression down in the Caribbean that's forming.
Oh, boy. Which one's this? What letter are we on now?
Like this, this is going to be named after my friend Nate, Hurricane Nate.
Oh, we're only on N, huh?
Yep.
Interesting. Hurricane Nate Hanky making his way through.
Making his way through. Yeah, they said it could hit up this way, too, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the cone showing it could go Tampa, Tallahassee, pretty much anywhere, so.
This is kind of late for hurricane season, isn't it?
Well, September's the prime.
Right.
But October's still pretty good.
Is it? When's it kind of like in the clear? Like end of October? Or?
I want to say actually maybe end of November, but it could... I think it goes into November, to be honest, but...
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
I mean, I know it can always change. It does. It's not like set fast. Not like, oh, it's October 15th, no more hurricanes, turn around, Omar, or whatever O would be.
I was watching the news, and they, you know, the classic, they said, we're going to keep an eye on this. Remember when you'd get a big snowstorm?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd have some, like, moisture over Omaha, Nebraska. Okay, this is our next system now that's settling over Lincoln, Nebraska. We're going to keep an eye on this.
Thanks. Stay tuned to 10. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. I used to always hate when you were watching your sitcoms and they'd, like, break in for the school cancelings on the night before. Like, you're watching, like, Cheers or something, and all of a sudden Art Lake comes on and says, well, there'll be a one-hour delay in Scituate, a one-hour delay, Foster Gloucester.
Yeah, but that was good news.
CCRI, no evening classes.
If I was watching Cheers, that meant I got to stay up and watch Night Court.
Oh, that's true.
So that was a good win for me.
But you know what I mean. Like, all of a sudden the screen would get small, Ted Danson be up in the top corner, and you got Art Lake's big ugly face in front of you telling you about the weather.
John Giorsi
factor.
Art Lake was more of the morning guy, though. He was with Frank Coletta, wasn't he?
Well, I don't remember exactly.
R.J. Heim.
Right. Yeah.
Do you want me to go through my Rhode Island meteorologists, or do you want me to cut it now?
Gary Lay. They're all still around.
They don't leave Rhode Island. They don't leave.
No, once they're in, they're in.
They're in. I mean, look at Mario Hilario.
Yeah, he's still around.
I remember one of the best ones was Gene Valicente, and somebody escaped from, where'd they escape from? From the...
the ACI?
Yeah, the Adult Correctional Institute. And he jumped into a garbage bin with where laundry was. And Valicente's got his WJAR mic, and he's jumping in the garbage... Beautiful.
Anyway, yeah, so that's our Rhode Island portion of this week's episode. So there's also, addition to the Sarasota Studios, I've heard.
Yes.
A little pup running around there, don't you? Do you want to introduce him
no,
to the
No, I'll
listeners,
probably have him on...
You wanna hold that
we'll
for a
We'll hold that off until next week. I'll probably have him on the show.
Yeah, because that's a good... Because the big ratings book is coming up next week, so we want to hold him off.
Yeah, the ratings suite. This is the last of the...
Of the summer book. We got to wait to get into the fall.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're going to do a dud show this week.
This is a big-time dud show. I knew it was a bad sign when I went out to the garage to get my beer for the week, and I opened it, and all of a sudden it just started pouring out, just foam everywhere.
Yeah, you said this is not going to be a good week.
It's not going to be a good week. I went to, like, pour a little bit out in the sink to try to get it to settle down, and it just wouldn't. It just kept coming out. So I have no beer this week. I didn't want to try another one and have the same thing happen. So I don't know if it was too cold and it, like, froze. You know, like, if it freezes a little and you open it and it just all starts foaming out, that's what was happening. Luckily, I caught it before it spilled on the floor. Like, I felt it, and I saw it, and I got right to the sink. So I didn't have to clean up any mess on the floor, but... Yeah.
Well, that's always good, Billy.
Yeah, but I wasted a full beer, which is not good.
No, not those $11 beers that you have. If it's one of mine and I forget and I leave it in the freezer, that's one thing. 37 cents down the drain, literally.
Yeah,
but...
right. Luckily, I didn't pay for this one. This was given to me.
Okay. But,
yeah, it didn't work out so well.
You get a lot of beers given to you. How do you work that angle?
I know people.
Okay.
You got to know people. That's what it's all about. It's about building relationships in this world.
And you, my friend, are a relationship builder.
I am. I'm a bridge builder.
Hey, I was watching the Yankee Twins game last night, and I noticed Joe Girardi wearing a jacket. What's going on up there?
It wasn't that cool. Well, I don't know about overnight, but it's been a little chilly in the morning in like the 50s, but then it gets up into high 60s, low 70s, normal for this time of year around here. I don't feel like it's cold. I'm still holding strong on short sleeves and shorts. No update on that front. We'll see, though. It could all turn to mud very quick. We haven't had, like, the cold rainy yet. Like, it's a little chillier, but it's still been sunny, so it feels really nice in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Good sleeping weather.
The one where you go off to school and it would be cold, and when you came home from school, it was, like, 73 degrees, and you had to jump into your shorts and go play hoops with your buddies.
That's exactly right. It's just like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Those are good days. I know you don't like the mud mornings, but... People around here, they go nuts. Oh, I love the cool morning. I love the cool mornings.
Yes.
Really feels like fall.
Yes, they do. Yep.
Yeah, great. I like the warm afternoons. I like that part better.
You'd love the weather here. It's been, the humidity is completely gone. It was actually a little chill in the air in the morning. It would be like, you know, 72, 73 degrees. That's a little chill.
Yeah, that's the high for the day here.
And then, We've had highs. We haven't broke 90. We've been about 88, 89. But, and you can feel it, too, because there's no humidity. Wow. You could almost wear the shorts and the jacket in the morning.
Now, is that everywhere? Or is that on the coast? Like, is Central Florida still under 90 for most days, or you don't really pay attention?
They might be hitting 90, but it's over for everybody right now.
The humidity's kind of gone for now.
Correct.
I mean, you might get a stretch with a little bit, but for the most part, you're looking pretty good.
Yes.
That's good. That is very good. I don't have really anything else to add as far as off-topic updates. Playoff baseball starting. Hockey and basketball seasons are starting up. You're a big hockey fan, aren't you?
I like Stanley Cup Finals. I like the playoffs,
so you
but I won't
the
watch
first 6 months of
for
it.
For the most part, yeah. I'm very excited about the upcoming NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked Celtics. I know you're a big NBA guy, and you like the
Celtics. Is optimism both?
Yeah.
In Boston and in Minneapolis. I'm very excited about the Wolves.
Now, who do they have that's up and coming? I know they got some guys they've been building and building. Do they make any moves in the offseason, or are they just...
Yeah, well, they have Andrew Wiggins, right. And they have Karl Anthony Towns.
Right, they got those guys through drafting.
And then they got Jimmy Butler from the Chicago
Bulls.
Oh,
that's right. I knew they made a move. Yep. I couldn't remember. So they got the veteran leader now, and they got these young guys that are really talented, so...
But what's telling now is Minneapolis is now a destination spot. Because when you get a couple star players, now everybody wants to go there. You know, there was rumors a couple weeks ago that Kyrie Irving wanted to go to Minnesota. I mean, that's...
Now, can they compete
everybody
in the
says
West,
everybody wants to play for the Lakers or the New York Knicks, but that's a bunch of garbage. People want to play where the star talent is now.
Have they... can they compete in the West, though?
Yes, they actually... I looked at the power ratings, and they are maybe 6 or 7 overall.
Oh, that's not...
In the league, East and West, yes.
But that makes them about fifth in the West, though.
I think they have them I think they had them about fourth in the West.
Really? Yeah. Because Golden State, obviously, is number
San Antonio.
One. San Antonio. I mean, Oklahoma City, they just made a move. They got,
in Oklahoma City, yeah.
They got Carmelo Anthony.
Carmel, yep.
I don't know if that helps him that much, but it's something. He can score.
I think it helps him quite a bit. That guy's, he's tough, man.
That's true. He still can put the ball in the hoop, too. But yeah, I mean, yes. Outside of those, the Clippers, they're on the way back down, and mm-hmm. The Suns, they're not quite there yet. I know they have a lot of good young talent, but they're a few years off. Portland, I don't know, are they any good?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Trail Gangsters. Yeah.
I know basically in the East it comes down to Boston and Cleveland.
And I still think Cleveland's better.
Yeah, I mean, if you have LeBron, you have... I mean, Isaiah Thomas, they said he might be out till January, but he's pretty good. It's not like they got nothing in return for Kyrie. Everyone's
No, they got a lot in return that's what for I mean. Kyrie, actually. Yeah.
So they're still well-appointed. They're going to be hard to beat. I mean, they had no chance last year, the Celtics, and they had home court. So they're going to have to get home court again and hope they get a few breaks to even... have a chance.
I'm
going to
give you my sleeper team. My sleeper team in the East.
All right, let's hear it.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
I had a feeling you were going to say that because they've been just loading up on young talent. They must have a couple Jayhawks on there. That's why you're saying that.
Well, they got Joel Embiid, of course.
Exactly.
And then they had, who was the other guy, the star from Duke that everybody
Okafor?
Loved? I think he, yes. And they've been wanting to deal him for the longest time.
Yeah, and
time.
Then they have Nerlens Noel, too, don't they? Or did they get rid of him?
I think they still have him.
So they get those guys hanging out. This NBA talk. I haven't watched an NBA game in like 4 years, and we're just getting deep into it. We're in like...
Yeah, you're excited, aren't you?
Nerlens Noel. That's a good name, isn't it?
I mean, it just goes to show... Yeah, it's a good name. Just how well-rounded we are. I mean, we know... I shouldn't say a little bit about everything, but we know a lot. Maybe everything about everything, the two of us, when we put our two melons together... You think that's a fair assessment?
Well, I think it's fair to say that we know the least about Disney, and that's what we specialize in, so that's just telling you how much we know.
So you think a couple fools will tell their buddies, like, hey, you got to listen to this 188 of this, it's called the Por Favor Podcast. They really broke down this upcoming NBA season.
Yeah, that's possible. You're going to get, all of a sudden you're going to see, like, the odds for the 76ers going to the finals. They were like 20-1, all of a sudden it dumps down to 12-1.
Yeah,
that's called the Jurgen factor. Who do you like in baseball? Who do you like in the baseball playoffs this year? Do you think the Sox have what it takes?
No. I mean, I was reading this article today, and it was like the top five reasons why nobody's interested in the Sox, and everything was so true.
They're not a fun team to watch.
Pedroia being a punk,
right?
David Price being a punk. I like a lot of their young players, but they're missing the star factor with Poppy.
Right.
And there's just, I mean, there's nothing likable about this team. Who do I like? I got to go with Cleveland. I mean, the two hot teams, obviously,
yeah.
Cleveland and the Dodgers.
Yeah,
the
Dodgers, I mean, the Cleveland has the pitching, and they got the bats. Although the Red Sox have that, like, Kansas City formula from a couple years ago with just the killer bullpen mm-hmm. and just little small ball and all, like, dink and dunk, good defense. They just need to get their starters need to catch fire, and the bullpen needs to stay strong. If Farrell doesn't fumble it, I think they have a chance to surprise some people.
I just think you look at the last series of the year, and Houston is heads and tails better than the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, Houston, they just don't have the pitching. I mean, if Sale goes out and throws a gem, and then they're up 1-0.
Yeah, what do you follow that with?
Well, I mean, you got Pomerantz. He's had a good year, but then you're just hoping you could get into their bullpen early because they don't. That's not the strength of that team, Houston.
Right.
You know, so you got to get into their bullpen, and then you're in a fight because they can put some runs on the board, and that's been the Red Sox Achilles heel all year is getting runs across the plate.
You are correct.
We'll see. I mean, I don't. After last year's performance in the playoffs, I don't have a lot of hopes, and it's all coming down to Sale, and he's never pitched in the playoffs, so it'll be interesting to see.
And this is one of those fun years because you don't, like you said, you don't have the expectations, so you see what they do. I mean, all those years where they had Pedro and Schilling, and you're like, they got to win,
right.
And they got to win right now.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think it's a it'll be interesting, that's for sure. And if they get swept out again, I hope they get rid of Farrell. I'm not a big fan of John Farrell. Mm. I don't think he's a good manager. I think they won in spite of him, but that's another topic for another day.
I think he's a clubhouse guy, and I don't think he's an X's and O's guy.
Yeah, I believe that's kind of the book on him. That's been the book on Farrell. I don't know. All right, so now we're vamping. We're just stalling for time. Should we take our first break here and get into the meat of the episode?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, right, Billy.
Billy.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 188 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de las Podcast.
Mr. Klinsmann and I, what are we going to discuss? A little news today. You said that there was a few things that excited you over the week.
Yeah, so the last 7 to 14 days, there's been some happenings going on. And obviously, if you've ever listened to our show before, you know that if a new restaurant or lounge or something opens up, that gets our ears perked up. Gets the hair on the back of our neck to stand up, and we're ready to talk about that. So we got a couple new filth joints and sauce joints opening up in and around property. And then one thing I wanted to mention right away, right here, right as we come out of break, actually two things. The first thing is, I don't know, we need to do maybe a little mousekeeping from last week's episode, playing the explicit music in our first break. Hopefully no young ears were listening to Big Papa. There, I guess the YouTube video you grabbed did not have the clean label.
And I listened to that 3 or 4 times. Was there some real explicit language?
Well, I mean, it's they dropped the S-bomb and the N-bomb in there. I mean, I would say the N-bomb's probably the worst thing.
I listened to it 4 times. You can tell I don't have kids. I didn't hear a damn thing.
Well, because I was listening to it, and it's not like, it's kind of an older rap song where it's not every other word. It's not F-F-F. But I'm listening to it, and I know what's coming up, and I'm like, all right, let's see if Mike messed this up. And then all of a sudden I hear the first N-bomb. I'm like, oh, here we go. So,
and you're like, he did mess it.
Yep. He messed it up. So then I turned it down because I had Yergina in the car. So I was like, okay, that's enough of that song.
Did she have her big gold chain with the Y and her hat on sideways?
You should have seen her head bobbing for it.
The flat rim New York Yankee head. Sipping out a heff and reffer.
Yeah.
I like it when you call me your Gina.
Yeah, so that one, just a note for anyone out there listening. We do acknowledge that happened, and we'll try to be better going forward.
You play Dumbo, the flying elephant songs. I like it when you call me Yergina.
It would have been fine if you found the clean version. You didn't even think to look for the clean version, did you? You just found the first YouTube link and like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
The second thing I wanted to bring up quickly, and I know we've mentioned it on our Facebook and a couple times on the show possibly, but last weekend on October 1st was Epcot's 35th anniversary, and they had all that special merchandise out there. And I know there were a lot of people lining up, weasels, trying to get 10, 15 so they could sell them on eBay for higher prices, things like that. I hate that, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's such a scummy thing to do. All these people trying to make a buck off of like what other people are just
missed out on.
Yeah, exactly. That's whatever. That's another rant that we could go on, but some of the stuff I know we saw some of the previews, but now that you get like close-up pictures of people wearing it or people putting their hands on it, there's some pretty cool things, and I hope they're still around in a month from now when I'm down there. That visor, I really want that visor, that Epcot 35 visor that we talked about. But the cool thing that I saw yesterday, I never saw it on any of the previews, is there's a pennant, like an old-school baseball pennant of Epcot, and it's got Figment on it. And then now there's a Walt Disney World one as well with it says like has the old Disney World logo and it says 1971. So those are definitely going to be added to my collection very soon.
Nice.
I need those. But they don't have them online. I would have bought them on the Shop Disney app if I could have. But they're not available. Only in stores. So hopefully they're still around, and that's coming back with me. But the other thing I saw, I don't know if you saw these. I was looking online, and they came out with shirts, and they may only be online, shirts and hats for each of the countries in World Showcase. And so the front of the shirt, it says Norway, and it has like a silhouette of the pavilion, and on the back it says Epcot 35, like right under the collar. They're really, you got to check those out, Billy. They're really cool shirts. I think you'd like them. The Canada one, UK, all 11 pavilions are represented with a shirt and a hat.
And obviously, if you buy a few of them, you got to get them all because they turn it into a damn collectible item.
Well, that is true. I mean, they have them on the website, buy one, get one 40% off. So I was like, all right, I'm putting them in my cart. I'm looking at them. And I'm like, two T-shirts. that probably won't even fit me that well, because Disney shirts always run small, and I usually, after I wear them once, I'm like, eh, it's a little small on me. So they were like $28. So buy one, get one 40% off. Two of them would have been like $60 after tax and shipping. I was like, you know what? I don't need $30 t-shirts in my life right now that I'll probably wear once. So as much as I like the designs, I had to take a pass on those. But I encourage you to go, and if they're still out there, check them out on online. I don't know if they're in the parks. They may be online exclusives, but check those out, Billy. Let me know what you think. I'm excited to see what you think, because they kind of fit your style, that old school aesthetic.
Yes, I think you would like. You know those. Me well, Billy. You like know those. Me well.
Have you seen them, or is this news?
No,
to you?
No, I have not. No, this is all news.
Breaking news. All right, yeah, they're pretty cool. All right, do you want to add anything? Did you look at any of this merchandise stuff? I know you watch a lot of YouTubes and things. I don't know if you caught up on any of that.
I have not yet to this date, Mr. Glenn.
All right, so nothing to add there is what you're saying.
That is correct.
Do you have a line item in your budget for, like, Epcot 35 merchandise for the next time you go up to the parks?
No, I try to restrain myself because, I mean, I've got T-shirt after T-shirt after T-shirt. It's obscene right now.
And you would probably go and
want... I'd probably want about 15 if I went up there, correct? Yes,
that's
yes.
The thing, yeah. It is tough. It is tough. Especially because the food and wine stuff's going to be there, too. So then you're looking at, oh, I got this food and wine merch that I like. I got this Epcot 35 stuff I like. It's tough. It's tough to restrain. Especially when you get that 20% off, which, por favor, Frank told me he found out that they extended the benefits till the end of this year.
I have not seen that 30%. I cannot confirm that on the select restaurants.
Oh, that may have ended already.
Yeah, I know it ended. It ended on September 30th, but there was rumors that they might extend it a little bit more. So I've been
even the 30%.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the boys and I have been in the lab researching that, and we can neither confirm nor deny that rumor.
Well, at least you can't deny it yet.
Correct.
That's good. So there's still a chance. But the 20% off across the board for merch is still around for another couple months. So that's good news, too. That's all I have on the merch front.
Okay.
The next stuff we're getting into, and I'll let you choose where we go first. You want to go Swan and Dolphin or Hollywood Studios?
Let's go to Hollywood Studios for 200, please, Alex.
All right. So as we've mentioned, I believe... The Baseline Tap House on Grand Avenue in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Talk to me, Billy. Where's this Grand Avenue
set
again?
To open. Oh, so Grand Avenue is now the street where the Streets of America used to be. So you know how they shut all that down in the back near the Muppets for some of the construction going on?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was aware of it.
So now it's smaller, but it's reopened as Grand Avenue, and it's supposed to look like 1940s Los Angeles. So it's reopened. They have all these. They redid all like the window displays and all these storefronts they have there, which look pretty cool. And then they opened this this lounge, the Baseline Tap House, right outside of Mama Melrose and Muppets Vision in that area.
That's that would be Mama Mel Melnick's.
Mama Mel. I always pronounce that.
You do.
Mama Mel Melnick. So that is that's open now. It opened maybe a week and a half ago. And I wasn't sure. I knew they said opening in fall 2017, and then I kept looking at construction updates, and I'm saying, I don't see where this is going to be open anytime soon. But boom, it's open now. Grand Avenue's open. So just a little more space to spread people out. But this lounge looks pretty interesting. Not a lot as on the food front.
Correct.
We can talk about that a little bit. And... it's pretty limited in what it offers, but it's basically a craft beer lounge, a California craft beer lounge. So there's 9 beers from California on tap, and they come in 16 or 22-ounce pours. So a 22-ounce beer, pretty decent size. That's a good one. So the 22-ounce is $9.50, and the 16-ounce is $8.25.
Well, you got to go with the big boy, correct, Jurgen?
Of course. I mean, that you're getting your money's worth out of that.
Mr. Klinsman.
Now, what I have to say here is, correct me if I'm wrong, but a $9.50 for a 22-ouncer, that seems on the low end for Disney.
I would say that's a good statement, because let's think about that. a 22-ounce Bud Light at a Bumblebee is probably going to run you, I'd say, about 7.25, wouldn't you say?
I was going to say 650 to 750. Okay. Yep.
And now you're talking about a yuppie beer that you add to. I mean, I'm thinking this is Bumblebee's pricing.
Yes, I agree with that. And it's surprising to me that it's so low with the beers they have on tap there. I'm trying to find a list. It doesn't. The actual menu doesn't have a list of the beers, but I see a picture here which shows me they have a Golden Road 329 Lager, a North Coast Scrimshaw Pilsner, an Anchor Meyer Lemon Lager, a Golden Road Hefeweizen, Green Flash Passion Fruit Kicker Wheat Ale. That's probably what you would order.
Sounds
like
neither.
Something you would like. Neither. That's like the sixth one. Napa Smith Lost Dog Red Ale. That sounds right up my alley. I like red ales. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Lagunitas IPA, and Stone Delicious IPA. And you know it's a like one of those yuppie places when it has all the alcohol percentages on the mm-hmm. menu and it has the IBUs on there and everything. So you run through that list, and yeah, $9.50 for a 22-ounce pour. That's pretty good for theme park pricing. They also have a cider on tap, Ace Space Bloody Orange Hard Cider. You can do a beer flight, 4 5-ounce pours for $10.50, which is not economical, by the way, because you're getting 4 5-ounces. That's 20 ounces for $10.50, and you can get 22 ounces for $9.50. So I don't like that. That's not a good
Billy, is this a place that you might be able to get some other alcoholic beverages? Like, would Frank and I be able to belly up and maybe try a Bloody Mary? Or do you think this is just as-is on the menu?
See, I don't know, because they do say they have some alcoholic specialty beverages, like mixed drinks, so I don't know if they will do to order. I'll have to do some research when I'm down there. Because they have two signature cocktails. Let's see if I can find out. The picture I'm looking at cuts that off. Let's see if it's on this here. Oh, here we go. Specialty cocktails. They have a Negroni, which is gin, Campari, and Camparano vermouth, whatever that is, $11.25. And then a California Sunset, which is Absolute Berry Acai Vodka, Southern Comfort, OJ, Sweet and Sour, and Pomegranate Juice. Also $11.25. They have wine on tap as well, which is interesting. So those are the drinks, and there's also two non-alcoholic beverages on tap. One is a Wild Strawberry Lemonade, and one is a Blue Sky Black Cherry Soda on tap. So sodas on tap, wine on tap, specialty cocktails. Doesn't sound like they're making a going to do cocktails to order, but it might be a full bar. They might have a full bar there. I'll have to find out. I haven't heard anything either way. And they have a couple snacks you can order,
which I think actually look pretty good.
They look good. Nothing that's crazy. Nothing you're going to go for the snack. But you can get a Bavarian pretzel with beer, cheese, fondue, and spicy mustard for $9. So not too bad there. A California cheese and charcuterie plate for $10. That would be the one I would try. And the spiced almonds for $6. That charcuterie plate, I was looking at a picture of that earlier. Looks like it's pretty pretty decent sized. Trying to find another picture of it. Looks like there's some good blue cheese on there, some pepperoni and salami and who knows what other kind of meats. Some crusty breads, some pickles, some mustard. I would definitely get that. Looks good. And then they have sweet and spicy almonds that are made on site. So they got like sweet and spicy. It doesn't really say what is in it. But this has, so 3 kinds of cheese on this cheese plate. I'm getting deeper into this, finding out the research. They have a Toma Farmstead cheese, Point Reyes Original Blue Cheese, and Laura Chanel's Sonoma Goat Cheese. So 3 kinds of cheese. And then as for the meats, they have a chorizo, a calabrese salami, they have cornichons, which are the little mini pickles, grapes, toasted baguettes, and a mustard on there as well. So for $10, mm-hmm. that's worth a shot, definitely. I like blue cheese, I like goat cheese. So if you're not a fan of those, probably pass on that because that's where most of the money's going, towards those cheese.
because it looks like you're only getting three little slices of salami and chedis on this board. So it's more of a cheese plate, and if you don't like goat cheese or blue cheese, you probably don't want to get this. The pretzel's a big size, though.
No.
You see a picture of that thing? It's pretty big. It's like the size of a cutting board, because that's how they serve it, on like a cutting board. So it's pretty big. It looks like it's probably, I don't know, 5 inches by 6 inches. Pretty big pretzel. Maybe more. So what do you think of this joint? Is that something you check out? Only if you could get like a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, it's not on the top of my list, Bill.
The whole area looks really nice, though, that they redid. And there's outdoor seating. There's indoor seating. That part of it very much excites me. And I like being able to grab a craft beer and get out of the heat for a little bit. Sounds like a good thing to add to the area. Definitely doesn't hurt. The more of this kind of stuff they put in, the merrier, I say. I'm sure you would agree. Even if this one's a miss for you, you don't mind having like nice lounges and bars
right.
around.
That's correct,
Bill. You love
Bill.
Those kind of things. So, do you want to move on to
Yeah, that's
your
what I was
going to
say, because if you're at Hollywood Studios and you're not happy with the lounges, go for a walk. Go for a walk.
Yes, and it's not a very far walk, and it's a very nice walk, and you'll find yourself at the, what would you say, the most non-cheerleader resort at Disney World? Maybe the Four Seasons? I don't know.
No,
don't
the Four
really
Seasons is
that.
Expensive, but that's I would say that's a non-cheerleader place.
But this, we're talking about the Swan and Dolphin.
Now, for those of you, most of the people who are in the listening audience, these are two resorts that's actually situated on Disney property, walking distance to both Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and they do have bus transportation to the parks. I just wanted to throw that in there. People, correct.
In case you've never heard of it. Yeah, I know you're being sarcastic because people don't consider it when they do their planning because it doesn't have Mickey Mouse in their room. And things like that, and there's no.
There are gift shops, and they actually have some Disney merchandise products.
And they actually have a character meal on property, on site, which we can get into if we want. But what we're talking about today is the recent refurbishment of the Swan and Dolphin. So over the last couple years, they renovated all 2,267 guest rooms at the Swan and Dolphin, and then they updated the Dolphin's lobby. So we're looking at some pictures here. I'm not familiar with what it looked like before, but how does it look compared to the old lobby?
I don't know. The old lobby I thought was nice. Do you watch the baseball winter meetings? Yeah, they had it in the lobby of the Dolphin a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
they said it was like they had like curtains hanging down, kind of.
Yeah, it's a lot more open. I think they did a nice job.
So the lobby, I'm looking at an article here from the Orlando Sentinel, and they said the lobby, which previously had big blue and white centerpiece draped from the ceiling that almost looked like a parachute, but then the general manager said it was cutting edge, but it began to feel very dated. And then now there's a new light fixture, and it has 10,000 crystals hanging from the ceiling. But it's like a giant chandelier in the middle of the lobby. Looks really nice. One of the things they added is a larger lobby bar called Fins, as in Dolphins, P-H-I-N-S. And they also added a quick service / grab and go type of restaurant called Fuel. Has sandwiches, pastries, seating, drinks, things like that. Fuel is in the space that was previously occupied by a gift shop and an art gallery. So they took out a gift shop, art gallery, put in this
over by check-in in the lobby area. Yep.
Sure. Yep. And they said the guest rooms have been redone floor to ceiling. There's a wave pattern in the carpets. The bedding is brilliantly bright white. The hallway carpeting looks like a riverbed. They did. They redid the bathrooms. They brought in more USB charging outlets and things like that. New ACs, new TVs, new desks, everything new, basically. So just like a brand new resort. All the rooms are brand new. And they kept those beds, though. Don't worry. Those beds are still there. The ones that you dream about.
The West and Heavenly beds.
Is that what I always want to say? Dream bed, but you're right. It's the heavenly bed. And then the last thing they're saying here is it took 3 years to do the renovation, and the changes for everything is over $140 million.
That's some money.
So they really put some cash into this, and it looks like they did a good job from what I'm seeing.
That is some money, is that not?
But let's. Yeah, I guess. I mean, think about. I don't know. I mean, you know, Disney World when they. They're publicly traded, so you know how much the parks make and how much Walt Disney World makes over the years. So you figure a couple resorts on hand that are owned, who'd you say?
I believe Weston, and I believe Sheraton.
Weston, yeah.
Yep.
Right. So you figure they're probably one of their higher performing hotels. They're banged out most of the time, and I mean, they'll probably make that up rather quickly, but it's still a big chunk of change to invest, especially in a place that probably was still getting banged out, whether they did this renovation or not.
Yeah, they do very well for conventions.
That's the thing that always people don't really take into account a lot of times, especially like even Disney. They're redoing a lot of rooms at their hotels, and a place like the Dolphin and the Swan redoing their rooms also is... It actually costs them a lot more than just the cost of the renovations. Mm-hmm. They have to close down rooms that otherwise would be selling. And it wouldn't stop them from selling it going forward. People aren't going to stop going because it's got older designing. It's not like they're 50% because of the designs. So it's good that they do it, and they're keeping up with Disney, and Disney's keeping up with Universal or whatever, but... It's nice to see the rooms undergo refurbishment when they probably could let them go for a few more years without having to do it and not really see any negative effects. But they're going through, they're doing it now, and it's good. So let's
back up a second. I just want to talk about the rooms real quick, because you did kind of give a glance on what they did. But I thought one of them, all joking aside, the mud rooms, they did a phenomenal job. They had they put backsplash. Behind the sinks and the mirrors.
Oh,
and
I saw that backsplash.
You know what? Gorgeous, when we checked in, we stayed a few weeks ago, maybe a month now, at the Swan for 2 nights. And that was the first thing that we noticed. Kristen went to the bathroom, was washing her hands, and said, "Oh, my God, this is gorgeous." And I looked. I said, "God, these colors are beautiful." Because we're always looking at options for our house, even though we picked everything out. You're always like, "Oh, this is really nice backsplash." But it really is a nice... added feature. And the other thing is the showers. They have the waterfall shower head, and then they have that handheld thing that you can use to clean.
Yeah, I noticed that the Disney rooms were doing that as well. All the refurb rooms are getting those waterfall or rainfall shower heads, whatever you want to call
them. So, they have the same beds, USB ports, much more. But I just did notice the bathrooms are just absolutely gorgeous, and that's one of the things that you always notice when you check into a hotel. Is the bathroom nice? Is it modern? Is it clean?
Well, I mean, think about it. Besides just the bed, that's all it is—a bed and a bathroom. So that's basically half the room. I mean, any TV, as long as the TV works, people aren't usually going to complain if it's a flat screen TV. So that's not a big deal. But if the bathroom is old or dirty looking, that makes a big difference. All right, are you ready to move along here?
Yes.
All right, so this fuel place that just opened up, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, little grab and go. They just have little snacks. I mean, it's not like anything fancy. You're not going in there ordering even a burger. It's all pre-made stuff. But I did watch a couple videos, and the sandwiches looked pretty good, even though being pre-made, like sandwiches and salads, they all looked pretty good. But the one thing I'll take away here is the names are pretty good. If you go through this, they have the hammy, the capo, the tomo, the sir.
Yeah, the sir is probably a good tasting sandwich.
And it doesn't tell us what any of this stuff is, so we're just guessing. They have a sandwich of the day, what the cluck, so I'm guessing that's chicken. Old Smoky, the eggception, and the fin. So no clue what these are. I mean, you can probably figure out what the hammy is and the eggception, but...
You think the fin is tuna, or do you think it might be like a nice, God, I almost put my Minnesota hat on, walleye sandwich, but like maybe like a nice grouper sandwich, not for $7, not for $7.
I was going to say, for $7, something that's sitting in a cold cold chest.
I think the tomo is going to be a caprese, tomato caprese.
Well, that's what I thought the capo might be. Caprese? You know what I mean? The tomo could be. It could be a tomato and mozzarella.
Billy, I think there's only one way to find this out. What do you think?
Well, I'm on my normal go-to. I don't know where else to find these.
Sandals on the ground, oh, Billy. Like on sandals the ground. On the ground, yes.
Boots on the ground, okay. Yeah, make it happen. I mean, the bakery, I did notice that the stuff looked very homemade and fresh when they were showing it. They have moon pies, bagels, muffins, croissants.
Now, what was this one thing? What was this one thing? We watched a video yesterday with Raleigh Fingers when he went walking through, like, they had, like, an ice cream place where, like, they had, like, fudge and peanut butter, and then they had, like, a toppings bar where it was, like, one price.
Okay, so it's basically like the,
explain this to
like
me, Billy,
because
you're a dessert guy.
Yes, so as you probably are familiar with, there's lots of these like frozen yogurt places popping up where they were.
Oh yeah, like in trendy areas of downtowns.
Yeah, an Orange Leaf or a Pinkberry, those kind of places. I don't know if those are local or national, but it's basically you pay by the weight. So you go in, they give you an empty cup. You can put in whatever flavor you want. There's usually, you know, anywhere from 6 to 20 flavors that you could choose from. You fill up your cup with the yogurt. You put all the toppings on that you want. And then they weigh it at the end. So you're paying, at that place, it was like 68 cents an ounce. So if you get a big pile of filth, I mean, it can add up pretty quick.
You get a one-pounder, man. You're talking 12 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking, exactly, 12 bucks for an ice cream. That's a pound of ice cream is a lot. But you start throwing brownies and chocolate chips on there, that can that weight can add up pretty quick. So that's basically what it is. So they do have a frozen yogurt bar in there, which is interesting, and that's a good thing to know if you're looking for that, because I don't think there's anywhere else that has it. It's all ice cream everywhere. So if you wanted a frozen yogurt and you're walking around the boardwalk and you don't feel like going to Beaches and Cream or the Fountain or to Ample Hills, you can always sneak over to Fuel and get your own build your own frozen yogurt. But yeah, these, I did notice they have a savory bakery thing. They had like a ham and cheese muffin or something that looked pretty good, or sounded good anyway. So like savory bakery items, which is a good thing. Waters, they got the sauce. They had six packs you could buy. So it's kind of like, you know, when you go to Everything Pop and they have that back section, all the coolers, and they have like you can buy your six packs of Bud Light, and you can buy a pre-made sandwich. This sounds like that's what this is, and just that kind of stuff, and no like stations to order pasta or anything like that. But it's a good thing to have, especially if you're staying there and you just want to grab something quick on your way back to the room or on your way out the door.
I'll tell you something, Bill, that my eye's popping right now.
Okay.
Is you're looking at these coffees, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have many quick serves where you can have an assortment of coffees like this. You pretty much have your Disney Parks coffee cup, and you put your Joffrey's and cream and sugar, and you're out the door. But this looks like there's lots of options for you know, when you're getting up in the morning and you want to have a cup of coffee. Like, I would walk around the resort and maybe go get something for Susie as she's getting ready to go off to the parks. But,
sure,
I mean, this
true.
Is a pretty
so
nice menu.
Just regular coffee, cold brew coffee, which I assume is iced coffee, which is always good. Nitro brew, I don't know what that is, but it's $7.50 for a large. So
I wonder if that's like something that just, it's like Beavis and Butthead. Like after you have that, your eyes are just popping out.
Yeah, maybe.
I need TP for my bunghole.
And we've reached a new low on the Pour Over podcast. Cafe mocha, lattes, macchiatos, Americano. I don't even know what these are. Cortado, flat white. Espresso, extra espresso, syrup, whipped cream, almond milk. You can get shakes, though, too. So they have, like, smoothies, and they have, like, ice cream milkshakes, mocha, caramel.
Actually, I don't think that's a bad price for
hazelnut.
Those.
For a large shake, like $7.50, that's not bad. And then the shake, the red berry hibiscus, organic simply black tea, or Caribbean Isle green. Those are what they're calling shakes. I'm not really sure. $4 or $5.50. Or small and large.
Now, what's your take on this? Is this a place that you would go to? Obviously, if you're staying at Pop, you're not going to make a special trek over here like you would for Shula's, but
if I was staying there, I would definitely go for the coffee and the breakfast, because that's perfect for a quick breakfast on the run. Like, if you want to get into Epcot or go rope drop Hollywood Studios.
And get that for your walk.
You go down,
Yeah, you go down, you get your coffee, you grab a croissant or an egg sandwich or something, and you're walking down the path eating it, and then by the time you get to the gate, you're done, and you had your breakfast, and you're good to go. Or even, say you're coming back in the middle of the day, you had a big breakfast, you're going to go to the pool, and you just want a quick sandwich, you go down, poke your head in, grab a ham sandwich or something, bag of chips and a drink, and you're good to go.
Now I'm going to... As we've,
$7 to $9 for a sandwich. That's not
no,
too bad.
Not at all. No, not at all.
So yeah, I would definitely check this place out if I was in the area or staying.
Now, another thing that I noticed before we move on is discounts. A lot of places don't take discounts at the Swan and Dolphin. Some do take tables in Wonderland, but a lot of them don't take the AP discount. Right. And I'm noticing that they have a DVC at 20% as well as a AAA at 20%.
AAA is a good one to have because more people are going to have a AAA than a DVC.
Correct. Yeah, especially if they're staying at the Swan and Dolphin. But
it is strange that they have a DVC discount for a non-DVC resort.
Yes.
Kind of weird.
That is
but,
interesting.
Hey, whatever. So let's move on to the centerpiece here, the Finn's Pub and Lounge. And now this looks like a full-service bar. You can get anything you want. The drinks, they have everything. I mean, they were showing some of the drinks you can order. I mean, one of them comes in like a box and smoke comes out. Did you see that in the video?
No.
So it's like a smoked bourbon or something. And so it comes in this, like, it looks like a lantern. And it's filled with smoke. And then the waitress opens the door and all the smoke comes out. So it's actually like a smoked drink. Which is weird, but I guess if they have that, they're going to have Bloody Marys and anything else you'd really want. Mm-hmm. They have their own beer brewed for them called the Feather and Fin or something. It's a lager. So if you Swan and Dolphin, Feather and Fin, something like that. So that's cool. That's something
that
I
you would definitely try, right?
Yep. Yeah. But look at this. These small plates at this joint, they look pretty pretty intriguing, I guess is the word. So you want to jump right into
this?
Yeah. So we're back to the Bavarian-style warm pretzel. Comes with beer, cheese, and German mustard for $11. A Berkshire ham and cheese, grilled ciabatta bread, pickle relish, and pimento cheese, $11. That sounds like a small sandwich. Got some deviled eggs, free-range eggs, minced chive, dill pickle, English mustard, $9 for deviled eggs. A hummus trio, so this is like the bread service at Sanaa. Grilled naan bread, roasted garlic hummus, sweet basil hummus, and roasted red pepper hummus. Cajun boiled peanuts. Boiled peanuts seasoned with cayenne pepper, garlic, and smoked paprika.
Oh, that's something that you could have a plate in front of you and watch a ball game, don't you think?
Yeah, $10 for peanuts, though. That's tough. That seems expensive to me.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're like Planters peanuts, though.
Well, boiled peanuts, I've never had them, but I know it's like a southern thing, and they're actually like soft. I don't know. I've never had them, but like I guess if you like drive to like Georgia... on the side of the road.
Yeah, they do. They do, actually. Yes, yes. Oh, these street tacos.
Yeah, corn tortillas, avocado, tomatillo dressing, and ancho spice cashews for $16. I don't know what the meat is, though. It doesn't really say. They got to have a meat in there for $16. I don't know. Maybe beef. Who knows? Wok charred edamame, shell-on soybeans, yuzu juice, garlic, and ginger.
Not a fan of those.
That seems like a lot for edamame. Mm-hmm. Bib lettuce wraps, maple grilled chicken, pickled red onions, herb croutons in a lettuce wrap, $15. So this place is not cheap, so this isn't for the faint of heart. If you're going to get a couple apps, you're going to be dropping $50-$60 for a drink and a couple apps. Wings, 8 wings, smoked chicken wings with a teriyaki glaze and a cilantro lime dipping sauce, $18. That's pretty pricey. That's like $3 a wing.
You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
I think you shot yourself in the orifice because this would have been a place where you could say, if you were at Hollywood Studios, hey, let's go for a walk to the Swan and Dolphin. I heard they opened this nice new lounge. Let's go get a drink there. And then you could have gotten a couple apps. But there's no way that Frank's going to take you here after listening to this podcast.
No, especially because I don't see any Tables of Wonderland or anything like
that.
Yeah,
this is definitely not happening.
I wouldn't even want to, though. I mean, the stuff sounds good, but... it doesn't sound like it's that good of a deal.
You know what?
This pork belly bao sounds good. You get 3 of them. Those are like those little buns that you get at the Food and Wine. Chili and garlic flavored pork belly, steamed bun, pickled carrots, cucumber, and hoisin sauce. $16. That's a lot. That's a lot of money for 3 little bites.
We got to see what they are, though, if they're 3 little bites.
Well, it says small plates. And then lamb meatballs, Spanish-inspired braised lamb
meatballs, pork
tomato sauce, roasted potatoes, and Manchego cheese, $16.
Those look good.
Yeah, I mean, it all sounds good, and I'm sure they taste good, but I can't get myself to drop $18 for 8 chicken wings. Like, I don't care how good the chicken wing is. That's a lot for 8 wings.
Yeah, that's $2 a wing, yeah.
Give me some spicy garlic from Buffalo Wild Wings on the 2 for Tuesday, and I'm happy, man. I don't need to drop $18 on 8 things.
See, because you're saying if the two of us go there, we're probably going to drop $40 or $50 a piece. We might as well go to Shula's and drop $75 a piece.
Yeah, I mean, or even...
I think the same way, though. I do think the same way.
And not even that. It's or go somewhere else and get 2 more appetizers for the same price. If you went to... what's the one that you like? The Territory Lounge.
I love the Territory Lounge, yep.
So you go there, get a couple Bloody Marys, and you order everything on the menu, and you'll probably be out of there for less than ordering just a couple of these, you know?
Yes.
So that's the way I look at it, more of that. But I see what you're saying. You look at it like, I'm a half a lob wedge away from Shula's. I'm just going to go in there and order, even if you got the burger or something, you don't even have to go crazy. You can go sit at their bar, get a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And an appetizer, and you'd be out of there for probably $40. I don't know. Sounds good, though. I'm not going to say any of this stuff sounds bad. It just seems like it's a little high-priced.
Susie and I will do the liberty of checking it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt just to go poke your head in. Worst-case scenario, you guys go over to the Shula's bar. She can get her blueberry martini, and you can get a steak.
And go get, yeah, I can get a nice ribeye. Oh. No, the Kansas City Strip is what I got, and that was so good.
It was so good that you wouldn't even want to try a different cut from there.
I'd probably try anything. Like I said, when Susie got the ribeye and she brought, you know, a third of it home, and I ate it 2 days later and microwaved it, and it was coming out microwaved at well done, was better than any steak I've ever cooked. That says a lot, doesn't it? That's it was true. Better than any grilled steak or any fresh. It was so
good. After you nuked it.
After
for
I just
minutes.
Destroyed it, yeah.
Yeah, that does say a lot.
It's all about the cut, Bill. I mean, you can have it medium rare or well done. I mean, I think a really, really, really good cut at well done is better than a crappy cut at medium rare. What do you think?
It's hard to say because I haven't had like those.
You haven't gone to like those yuppie. Yeah, you haven't gone to those yuppie places.
I'm not a steakhouse guy. I usually do it myself. If I'm gonna have a steak, I go out and buy one and make it myself.
And I typically do. I'll go to a good steakhouse maybe once a year, if that.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, though. It makes sense. Like, what good does it do to cook something perfectly if it's not?
I mean, could you tell the difference when you went to Yachtsman? Can you agree that was a good cut?
Oh yeah, I could tell. There was just something.
There's something different. I mean, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it's different from an Applebee's.
Yes, I would agree with that. I understand. I know what you're saying. I have nothing else to
no,
add
I don't
here
either.
In this portion. It's exciting when these kind of things open up, though. Like a couple lounges, some refurbs to hotels. That's the stuff we
exactly.
Live for. So and Epcot merchandise.
Exactly.
We hit all of our buttons today. All right, bring us to break. Billy.
All right, let's take our second break, Jürgen.
Target Center, it's vacation and it's Saturday night. Everybody on your feet. Stand up and make some noise.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 188 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. Mr. Klinsman and I talked about the refurb, the Swan and Dolphin. Talked about the new bar, the quick service at the Dolphin, as well as a beer stop over at Hollywood Studios where they sell some yuppie beers from Mr. Klinsman.
That would be a place like Susie and I could hang out there for like an hour or two.
Oh, totally.
Because she would love that. You would just be sitting there eating the charcuterie plate and like staring at the wall. Although, the inside, I didn't even mention that. There's a lot of nods to Disneyland in there because it's supposed to be California in the 50s. So it's like Disneyland opening soon. Yep. And then, so there's a lot of Disneyland memorabilia in there. And also on the wall behind the bar, because this is where the writer's stop used to be, apparently. They have the letters for writer's stop.
Oh, like, yeah, okay.
Intermixed, so.
And I'm still disappointed they took that place out. I love that place.
Yeah, a lot of people did. It is. I didn't go there too much. I think I got a coffee there one time or a carrot cake cookie or something like that. But I know people really liked it. It was a cool atmosphere that they sold books and you could get a drink. It felt like, you know, like a legit little.
Yeah, you could have a cup of coffee and flip through the Burn Boy official guide of Disney World.
Yeah, they probably didn't want you flipping through them. They probably wanted you to buy the damn thing.
It's no different. The more you flip, the more you buy, just like it's at the other bookstores. They don't mind you flipping through.
That's true. If they didn't want you flipping through, they'd wrap them in cellophane,
That's
right?
correct.
All right.
Try before you buy, Jürgen.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to spend like 4 hours in the writer's stop reading through the whole book.
This is a good book. We'll see you tomorrow.
Although, I guess if you lived like where Mary lived, you use your annual pass, just go hang out there, be a regular at the writer's stop.
That would be a good place to frequent often.
Just go in, get your morning coffee, sit there for 3.5 hours, read a book, read the newspaper, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a mud stop on the way out and just go on your day.
Mud stop.
All right, Billy, bring us home. We're over an hour here. We thought this was going to be a short one. It always happens.
You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Por Favor Mike. You can email the show, info@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email me, Mike, at porfavorpodcast.com. You can listen to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Por Favor Podcast. What else do we have? The YouTube channel, Por Favor Podcast. Yes, do you see a theme here, Mr. Klinsman?
Just anywhere you find stuff, search for Por Favor Podcast. The only things we don't have are like Instagram.
Yeah, we're not teeny boppers. We're not. I do have an Instagram account, but I don't know how to log into it, and I don't know how to use it.
I don't get Instagram.
I still don't understand it either.
Our age here.
Yeah,
but that's what people say about Twitter, and I love.
Yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's fantastic. Not exactly.
So I think Instagram is just Twitter because now people like it used to be just pictures. Now people post a picture and they write like 9 paragraphs below it.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know. So maybe it's something we should look into. If you think we should get an Instagram account that we very infrequently update, let us know, because we don't even keep up with our Twitter and Facebook as much. So adding another social media into the mix probably wouldn't be the best idea.
I mean, occasionally you'll throw out some steaks. I think I put something out on Twitter yesterday that was pretty worthless. I'm not sure.
Did you?
Yeah.
I threw up a picture of the magic bands on Twitter.
Okay, yeah. I did something worthless yesterday.
Yeah.
I think I might. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I think I might have said. I don't know.
Something about mud.
All right.
Yeah, so look, YouTube, though, I want to get that YouTube. There's going to be some content churning out. The wheels are turning for YouTube. I got some ideas in my head. Just keep that on the back burner. Don't be surprised if that's where we're heading. We're going to get some good content on the YouTube. Or nothing. Who knows?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Overpromise, underdeliver.
Exactly.
We should just change the name of the podcast to that.
Overpromise.
Hello, welcome to the Overpromise and Underdeliver podcast. I'm your host Gary, joined as always by my co-host Mike.
That's not a bad name.
In this week's episode, we will say we're going to do this, and then in 3 weeks you realize we didn't
do it.
Yeah. Anyway, bring us home, Bill.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 188 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. Her am I. Cousin up in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'm Mr. Hurley down in sunny Southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week.